maybe it's time to simplify in your life.
The key to concentration is elimination. In other words, the key to focus is to remove all of the things that are distracting you so that you are able to focus simply. That's what Jesus is basically saying here. Keep it simple. Focus on abiding in me, loving with my love, loving the way I love you. You never saw me when I was in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Great to have you along for The Balanced Word. This is the ministry of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. In chapter 15 of John, Jesus said if we would abide in him, we would bear much fruit. And as we'll see today, there are tremendous blessings that come to those who do abide. But we can also expect some to hate on us too. Here's Pastor Dave Rolfe with what it looks like to have a simple abiding relationship with Jesus Christ.
You gotta go, how come a religious system will be so threatened by somebody else? Why would Jesus be such a threat to them? He wasn't bad-mouthing them. He wasn't saying, don't follow them, follow me. He's teaching at the temple. He's going to synagogue and reading the scrolls. He's saying that the law is good. But the nature of human systems, the nature of any cosmos, any organized, structured thing, the nature of it is evolutionary. Okay, is growth. It's motivated by, I have this, and now what can I add to it? And the more we add to something that's simple, the more we dilute it. Things don't become better as they develop, as they become more involved. You know, in physics, they talk about the second law of thermodynamics or the law of entropy. What that means is when things are left to themselves, they tend to devolve. They tend to develop in a way that lowers the quality, the entropy as organization. So it's like things become less organized and more of a mess the more you let them go. That's been the history of the world ever since the Garden of Eden. You know, it starts out, you have two people who are in love. There's nobody else there even lusting after or looking at, because it's like, whoa, two people who are perfect. And they live in a perfect environment in a garden. And they can eat of all the trees except just one. In fact, the only rule they have is don't eat of that one tree. You can do anything else that you want to do. And then God shows up and you know, hangs out with you. And, I mean, no weeds or anything like that. It's like, wow, what an environment. Ever since then, and because of sin, the earth has been devolving ever since. The greater the system, whether it's the Tower of Babel or whether it's other civilization-type organizations and everything, it all moves us in a direction away from the ideal. But that's why we spend our lives working hard to get a bunch of stuff and then hope we can get a couple of weeks to go stay in a garden. And go, oh, yeah, I live for this. When life started, it was all a vacation. That was the way it was. That's why vacations kind of feel like, whoa, it's good to get out into beauty, but got to get back to work, got to do this, got to do that. So any system is threatened by simplicity. The nature of true Christianity, as Jesus presents it, is simplicity. He's just, you know, the Jews had like hundreds and hundreds of laws. Jesus is like, you know what? Let me give you the cliff notes. Just love God and love each other. You'll be fine. Well, how does that feel to somebody who just spent 30, 40 years of their life memorizing all of those rules and trying to follow them? You're like, whoa, no, you can't give a shortcut like that. That's not right. I've invested too much in my understanding of how the system operates. I have worked my way up into a system. You see this today in business all the time, where when a new technology comes along that makes old technology obsolete. A lot of times, people who are in the business are the slowest ones to acknowledge that this is really the case. And they want to argue that their system is better than something that's more modern or more streamlined or whatever, because we all hang on to something that we've invested in. Jesus calls his disciples to a life where less is more, and where the more is love, joy, and fellowship. And that is something that will make people hate you. If they are invested in a complex system, if they have studied and worked hard and got their credentials and their titles, and boy, they've got this big system going, and you're like saying, no, you don't have to do that. That's a challenge. That kind of minimalism is a challenge. Now, let's just make it personal here. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, he says there in verse 3, you're clean. He cleaned you. He forgave you. He gave you a fresh start the moment you received Jesus. But let's get personal. What's been growing in your life since then? What is it that has become extra branches and extra stuff? What have you taken on that when at one point maybe life just seems simple? I just want to love Jesus and love other people. And I want to find friends who want to do the same. I just really want to find joy. Well, what is being added to your life? See, and really, let me just put it this way. What is it in your life and in mine that will burn someday, and yet you've invested in it? That someday it's not going to matter at all, and yet it is driving a huge part of your life. I had a friend of ours years ago, and they had just bought a brand new car, a Buick station wagon. They were so proud of it. They came over to our house. We were living in these little condos over by Calvary, and they parked in front of my garage door. Well, after we had played progressive rummy and had a great time, their kids were around and everything, I totally forgot the car was parked in front of the garage door. So I go, oh, Jerry, I want to see your car. So I push the button, and the garage door comes, boom, and just puts a crease right across his brand new Buick station wagon. And he just like, he was an easygoing guy, but he just like froze. And one of his little girls, Jody, looked at it and she goes, oh, well, Dad, it's gonna burn anyway, huh? And he's like, yeah, I guess I taught you that, but I wasn't thinking about my new car. What is it that I have invested in that's gonna burn someday? Because that begins to tell me of the plan that the Father might have to simplify my life, to eliminate everything that rips me off, that robs me, that causes me to lose sight of what really matters most, because everything we invest in takes away something from love and joy and friendship and in different ways. So what branches have grown on the vine that really just need to go? And I can't answer this for anyone else, but I think for every one of us, we should look at our lives and just go, okay, is there some extra stuff that it's time I just get rid of it? Sometimes it's even the Father takes it away. Sometimes, you know, a relationship breaks down, or a, you know, you lose a job, or you, you know, something else happens and you're like, no, I need that. And God's like, I'm pruning you. I'm getting rid of junk in your life that's holding you back from what I really have for you in life. You've invested in things, and so have I, that are going to burn someday. We need to identify those things. Today, minimalism is a huge fad, even in the world, because, and you know, you go on the internet and look for movies like on Netflix and Hulu and stuff. Some of the most popular videos are about minimalism. And we all like look at them and go, wow, that does seem kind of refreshing to be able to get by with less, to be able to simplify and streamline my life. Because see, even people who don't know God at all, well, they realize I'm actually happier when I get rid of stuff. I'm actually happier when I have a simpler life. because then I'm not working so hard to maintain everything. Now the things that matter, family, friends, caring for others, being able to help somebody else, now those are the things that make my life feel like it's fulfilled. Instead, I just feel like my life is filled with stuff that doesn't matter. Again, even people who don't know God realize today, less is more. The system, the cosmos, it's failing us. Now, what would our Christian lives look like if we were to eliminate everything in our lives that wasn't bearing the fruit of love, joy, and friendship? What if we decided, okay, God, you want to do a pruning? Let me work with you. What is it in my life that I would actually be better off without? There might be stuff that you have that you'd be surprised how getting rid of it might really make a difference. But you also might have some relationships that are just sucking you down, that are just destroying you. Maybe it's just time to admit, this relationship, I have tried to be a friend, and I've tried to be loving, but it's just not working. And maybe it's time for me to make a hard choice of just going, you don't belong in my life, controlling me, having control of my time and my energy and everything. I need to be selective. It might be activities that you do. There are all sorts of things in our lives that hold us back from the simplicity that Jesus is talking about here. And we need to ask those questions of ourselves. First of all, take a look at what the Father has already pruned. And he threw it in the fire. And see, that's, I think, the imagery in verse 6 is that, like, he is cutting stuff out and he's burning it. And we're standing there at the fire going, no. I got to, you know, we've got a fire extinguisher. And we're like, oh, I can't lose that. And he's like, this is all about fruit. This is all about you being more free to love, to find true joy, to be able to make real connections with others, because that's what a connection with me, Jesus would say, is all about. And so he calls us to a life of Christian minimalism in a way. Abide in me. Just stick with me. We'll get rid of the other stuff. Get rid of anything that doesn't look like love and joy and friendship in your life. Howie Hendricks, who was a longtime professor at Dallas Seminary, just an amazing guy. But he retired when he was almost 90. And at his retirement party, they said, you have been doing what you've been doing for like 70 years. How in the world did you keep it up this long? And he said, the key to concentration is elimination. In other words, the key to focus is to remove all of the things that are distracting you so that you are able to focus simply. That's what Jesus is basically saying here. Keep it simple. Focus on abiding in me, loving with my love, loving the way I love you. You never saw me when I was in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. And he goes, you know, just do that. You'll find more joy. You'll make better quality friends, maybe less friends, but better friends. You'll start to figure out this is what life feels like when it has much fruit. When I can look at my life and go, man, I've never had less, but I've never been happier. I've never been more blessed. But again, as Jesus makes it clear in this chapter, one warning, if you choose to live a life of simple discipleship and regular pruning, it does have a downside. People will hate you. Jesus warned the disciples, they're gonna hate you because they hated me. Why is it that the people who were waiting their whole lives for Messiah to show up, when Jesus shows up, they hated him? Probably for the same reason that a lot of people today who claim to be Christians, if they ever actually met Jesus and saw the way he was, they would hate him. They would say, he seems like a liberal, he seems like this or that. It's like, no, they're gonna hate you. Why? Because love, joy, and friendship represents everything that religious people fear most. See, religious people build their world around creating a system to get more. They need more money. They need more people. They need more influence. They want more power. And you come along and say, actually, life is a lot simpler than this. They're like, well, wait, how are we going to establish our kingdom? How are we going to ever be better than other people? And so the favorite weapons of religious people are hatred, bitterness, anger, fear, war. They love the paradigm of war. And they believe that our battle is against flesh and blood. They believe that what's wrong with this world is some of the people who are in it. They hate someone who wants to just live a life simply with Jesus. Now, as I was thinking about this, I thought, who has hated me most? Well, I'm not naming names, don't worry. But I'll tell you this, I went down the list. I have a hard time finding somebody who hated me who didn't call themselves a Christian. And it's like, wait a minute. Jesus said, if you're my disciples, love and joy and friendship is what's going to be the force of your life. And it's like, well, then how come Christians have been more cruel to me sometimes than even people who just don't even believe there's a God? I talk to people all the time who don't believe there's a God. They don't hate me. You know, they're just like, hey, whatever, if it works for you. What's wrong with this? Well, as Jesus is making it really clear, you call yourself a Christian, that's one thing. But if you begin to live abiding in Jesus, that's a threat to people who are trying to build whatever it is they're trying to build. Whatever ambition they have, whatever desire they have, the system is stacked against a simple relationship with Jesus Christ. Always has been, always will. It was crazy that the Jews who loved the idea of Messiah ended up killing the Messiah when he came. Again, a lot of people today that will call themselves Christians, truth is they would have hated Jesus. They hate this kind of simplicity. They want so much more. Now, just a word to you. If there's anyone here today or anyone listening who you're like, I get what you're saying because this is why I'm not a Christian. This is why I don't want to be a Christian. But let me ask you, why are you really rejecting Jesus? Because this is Jesus. This is what he says. This is who he was. Are you rejecting Jesus because some system that operates in his name is something that's abhorrent to you? It would make him as sick as it does you. He, you know, in Revelation chapter 3, when he writes to the church in Laodicea, he goes, man, you guys aren't hot or cold. You make me sick. I'm standing at the door of the church and I'm knocking like, will you even let me in? Will you exclude me from what you say is my church? So I get it. But something to think about. Don't reject Jesus just because a lot of his followers forgot what it means to actually follow Jesus and to be disciples. That would be kind of foolish. See, Jesus isn't a religious system. He didn't die and rise again so that he could establish a major structure, a major cosmos. Now, he's a person. He's a divine person who died for you, who loves you, who rose from the dead, who says, I want to forgive you and I want to walk with you. I want to be your friend. How can you turn that down? I would encourage you to reconsider. And just like, okay, forget it. I'm not telling you join the church or do, you know, you need to sign up for this or you need to learn to do that or cut this out. I'm just saying, what if Jesus is as simple as John 15 makes him out to be? And he is saying, I love you. I died for you. I want to forgive you. I want to be your friend forever. And here's the rules. I want you to love. I want you to find joy. I want your life to just emit the kind of fulfillment, the kind of blessing. I want it to rub off on others, and I want you to make some really good friends because I want to be your friend. You gonna turn that down? Man, that's a great deal. Now, let me just say right off the bat, those of us who follow Jesus, those of us who are his friends, we don't always get it right. Because, see, here's the thing. Like, I absolutely believe what I'm telling you. I absolutely believe what John 15 says. But I'm still in the pruning process. And so every day, there's other stuff that God just goes, snap, burn that. You don't want to be comfortable with that anymore. Don't do that. So I'm in the process. And if you come to him, you'll be in that process too. It's an ongoing process that's, I think, a lifelong activity, really, of just going, man, I admit, I got a bunch of stuff more than love and joy and friendship, but every one of us has just come to him because we need him to do that work. Will we give him permission to do that in our lives? And really, we can discover together that less really is more if we will just say, okay, let's be friends and let's do what Jesus said. Let's just try to be his people. Let's not get hung up on structure, organization, the company, the association. No, what if we just decide that what we want to do is love him, let him love us, abide in him, stay connected to him, find joy in what he finds joy in, make friends in the way that he does, make friends with him and then with other people who realize, yeah, this is really important and this is really good. But yeah, I'm not saying what you need to do is follow me. Oh, the worst thing in the world is if you would decide to become a disciple of Dave. That's just not a good idea because I got a lot of stuff he's still pruning every day. I'm amazed that the longer I'm a Christian, the more little branches I discover. And usually when I notice them, it's when, ouch, I just lost something. But he's doing that work, and I made a deal with him. He can take anything away that's keeping me from the simplicity of what he really wants our connection and our relationship to be. And you can do the same.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe. As we go through the Gospel of John together, there may come a time when you'd like to hear a message again. You can do so rather easily at thebalancedword.com or call and request a CD copy at 949-362-7475. By the way, we're making this complete series in John available to you on a thumb drive for a donation of $10 or more. Go through this powerful gospel from start to finish with Pastor Dave. Again, call 949-362-7475 and we can help you with that. Please remember, it's your support that allows us to bring the teaching of God's Word to the radio every day. Thank you for standing with us. Again, we can be reached at 949-362-7475. Or you can make a donation and resource request online at thebalancedword.com. We'd like to invite you to visit us at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. Pastor Dave Rolfe teaches most weekends, and you can hear him teach the Word Sunday morning at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. He always enjoys meeting his listeners, so please say hi after the service. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Now to wrap up our time in prayer, here again is Pastor Dave.
Lord, thanks for even wanting to be friends with us, but for making the ultimate sacrifice by dying for us just so that we could discover love and joy and connection, friendship with you and with each other. Thank you so much. Help us to guard our simplicity. Help us to resist a system, an organization that would cause us to take on a bunch of stuff, a bunch of connections, and a bunch of obligations that simply steal from us, kill and destroy us. I thank you that you are not, nor have you ever been, an organized religion, that you are a personal Savior. Lord, give courage to people who know that right now it's like they need to start over. Give them the courage, the conviction by your Holy Spirit in their lives to just come down and pray and say, I'm starting over today. I need this simplification process. Please just help them to feel in a weird way, wow, this is exactly what I needed. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, there's much more to come in our study of the Gospel of John. We'll see you next time right here on The Balanced Word with Dave Rolfe. This program is listener supported and brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel, online at thebalancedword.com.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hands and